The title of this message is Freeing Our Hearts to Love Unconditionally. If you notice something over the last few weeks, we're gearing to really releasing the Spirit of God from us. So a man thinketh in his heart that he is, and you are filled with the Spirit of God. But let's read this scripture, and it says, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Last week we were talking about God's unconditional love. Today I want to talk a little bit about our heart and maintaining that freedom. Next week I will talk about guarding our heart so that the unconditional love of God, not the philos, but the agape love, can just flow from us, because when we're connected to Him and connected to His kingdom and connected to His power, which is only found in love, then signs and wonders follow them that believe. Because we don't do it for ourselves, we do it for people to understand that the kingdom is here now. And this year, we have to understand that the most important thing that we have to release is God's love. That's the most important thing. The problem is that God's word is so simple that we make it complex when we start thinking about it instead of just believing what He says. That's true, right? We get ourselves in trouble, and then we start asking questions about how can that be and all this other stuff. And we don't realize that in that split second that we read the word and believed the word, Satan has come in and perverted that. And remember that exchange that Peter had with Jesus when first Peter answered Jesus and says, who do you think I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And he goes, all right, you know, that's great. You know, that wasn't by men, that was by the Spirit of God. And then Jesus started telling him how he was going to have to go to Jerusalem, and he was going to be apprehended, and he was going to be nailed and flogged and killed in Jerusalem. And in that very moment, Peter said, oh, may that not be so. And what was Jesus' response? Get thee behind me, Satan. God is a God of love. And because we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He has filled our spirit with His Spirit, which is love. And the problem that we have in that is that our bodies, because we think carnally, we think that our bodies are who we are. When the reality of it is the body responds to what the spirit man or our inner man, who we really are inside, responds and mirrors those actions and behaviors of what's going on the inside outwardly. When we're happy, we smile and we're goofy and all that stuff. When we're angry, we display that anger. When we're afraid, we display fear. But God wants us to display love. A love that is so unconditional that it will require our absolute death in order to be set free. And that happened at the cross. That happens every time we leave ourselves at the cross and we begin to exude God's love. The New King James says, I will run in your ways. And expresses an even better reading for our understanding, because it says something definitive, where in this scripture out of NIV, it alludes to something. And that is, I must motivate my will to allow love to come out. Now you may be saying, well, how's that work? Well, let's first go back and do our basics. Man is a triune person. He is made up of body, spirit, and a soul. Contained within the soul is our emotions, and our emotions is our reactions to outside stimuli. If it's a joyous and happy thing, we react emotionally as joyous If it's frightening, if we're watching a horror flick, and I don't know why people would watch horror flicks anymore. We don't. But to be scared, we show that through our emotions. We demonstrate that. And when we're feeling kind of cuddly and we feel amorous, we demonstrate our love. How? We get kisses where we put our arms around our spouses. We'll hold hands like Irene and I did yesterday, walking through the snow blizzard holding hands. And I didn't mean that to make you jealous. I did it because I love her. And she loves me. Thank you, Lord. But it's a motivation of our will. And so when our emotions come into play, then we have our mind. And our mind is the ability to think. And within the mind is our memory. We're able to have the ability to recall facts and figures and dates. And some of us are better and because we're younger than Pastor, and Pastor has to write everything down because he's at that stage where he's forgetting. Not because his memory's bad, it's just it's filled with a bunch of other stuff. It has to be, what did I say? Erased, that's it. Download it, out of it. And then finally, there's our will. And our will is basically the ability to choose. We choose. The problem is, 2 weeks ago, I had us make a slight declaration of that we will choose to love people. Are we loving people? Are we really loving people the way God loves people? Because that's already contained in you, waiting to come from you. And that's a fact, because God dwells in you. He wants to come from you. And the way he comes from you, as you die, he lives. That's why Paul was so great to say, you know, the life I live now is not me, but the Son of God who died and loved me, that he lives in me. It's a substitutionary love. It is a love that I consciously make a decision to live by. Now, you guys may say, well, Pastor, that's real easy for you. You've been walking with the Lord a long time. No, it's not. It is not any easier. It gets harder. Believe me. The longer your walk is, God challenges you to love people that you will be challenged in your relationship with. It's just that. You know. So there's no precedent as to longevity. What the precedent is that you must die, that he must live. And in order for him to live, we must learn to release his love to people unconditionally. Amen? It says, I will run in your ways. What are these ways? What are these paths that Jesus and God has told us? You know, are they a bunch of rules and regulations that we got to do? We can't walk on the grass. We can't eat meat on Friday because, you know, it's fish today on Friday. What's some other religious stuff can't dance, can't go to the movies, can't smoke, can't drink, can't do drugs. That's right, you can't. Don't do drugs. That's stupid. That's why they call it dope. But they, believe it or not, in Christendom, there are those who will take drugs to enhance their ability to have dreams and visions and say that they're super spiritual. I say they're super stupid. There's also those who have, and I'm sure you've seen these films where these people grab these rattlesnakes and they're up there and they take the scripture literally. You know, you pick up serpents and you shall not die unless they bite you. And they bite them and then they die and they're like, oh, that's the will of God. No, stupid. The will of God was for you to take it and throw that thing away, not get bit by it. Can you see how we've taken some scriptures and we've made it cultish in reality? Because is that love? Is that God's love for you? No, it's not. But our soul, our mind gets in the way in in such a way that we fail to realize just how free we are to love. Turn to Matthew 22. I'm going to tell you what the commands of God is for us. And we should know these commands. We should be practicing these commands. Right? We know what they are. Jesus replied in verse 37, Matthew 22, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, will, and emotions. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Isn't that what Streams was set up to be? We got rid of all the Old Testament garbage. Not that it's wrong, but Jesus gave us two things that we can do, where the law of Moses gave us 10 things we can't do. And if we try, it only reveals how sinful we really are. And Jesus was trying to get us to understand that in our imperfections, in our fallen estate, we can't even love people properly until our relationship with God is reestablished and we begin to love God with all our heart, with our spirit man. All that is in me, I will praise thee. Begin to love God with all my strength. Everything that I do is geared to love Him, to bring joy to Him, to make Him happy, to please. And remember, guys, when we were dating our spouses, how we would do those things. We would do anything to show them how much we loved them. We would even go on walks in parks and ride double bicycles and go to the beach and burn. But that's love. We were totally focused on our spouses. We would do anything for them, right, guys and gals? That's what Jesus was trying to get us to understand. That as much as we put that effort, and that is a conditional love, God's love is unconditional because there's nothing, nothing that we can do to earn His love. There's nothing that we did that could separate us from His love. There is nothing that would separate anything. There's no sin so great that God can't love us. And He loves us so much that He demonstrated His love that yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And I think what happens with believers sometimes is our love waxes cold for God is because we forget what we were like before. We forget how selfish and self-centered we are. How me, myself, and I, are the greatest trios in the world. It's not the Musketeers, it's me. And until you begin to start seeing God and start looking at Him and seeing what He has done to demonstrate His love for you and how great it is that He has sent people in our lives time and time and time again to tell us about God's great love and how He wants them to be a part of His family, we won't be able to love God unconditionally. Because you see, when we love God unconditionally as He loves us, the next step is outwardly. I can't love myself until I start loving someone else unconditionally. What does that look like for us? Well, you guys who sat under me, and at times we glean and go back to those wonderful days of discipleship in the garage, and we were all encamped around my little space heater. See, I remember them days of beginnings. And we were discipling. We were in there, and we were talking about things, and you guys, all you wanted to do was hang a pastor. This is great. And I was there trying to love you guys. And when you guys started wasting my time, what was my response? Still loved you, but I kicked you to the curb because I was about Father's business and I didn't have time to waste on people who didn't see the importance of what was being poured forth. Now, a carnal believer would say, that's not love. How can you kick somebody to the curb? I kicked them to the curb because I was giving them a lesson. I wasn't ending a relationship. That's the difference. And since Nolan was the first victim of that, and many times afterwards, we never ended. I never told him, I'm done with you. I always told him, the door's always open to you. No matter what, the door's always open. When you decide that you want to get real with God, the door's always open. And he did his thing. And sometimes he's responding better now. This week it only took a couple hours. But he knows I have an unconditional love for him, his family, because I want to see the blessings of God come upon his household, just like I do the rest of us. And just because you don't want to be discipled by me, because I am tough, and those who have sat with Jesse, I think she's tougher than I am. But, you know, for women, they have to understand the seriousness of what we're talking about. We're talking about God in you, coming out of you, you living in power. Not necessarily with wealth and prosperity that the world would dictate, because that has nothing to do with love. It really doesn't. And 1 Peter says, I pray, brother, that you, your soul may be good and you prosper in all things. See, it's the matter of our soul, the condition of how we think, how our emotions are, and our recall is more important than all the stuff, because Jesus said, what good is it to profit a man to gain the wealth of the whole world and lose his soul? Those are the two things. Those are the things that we have to do. Because when we gave our life to Jesus Christ, immediately we entered into this enlightenment. God is light. We entered into his light. We became enlightened. God began to speak. Oh, God speaks to you. He don't speak to you. He speaks to me. And most Christians don't even believe that God speaks. Oh, he speaks to the pastor. Well, you know what? He does speak to me. But I want to hear what he's saying to you. And if he ain't talking to you, then there's a problem. Either you're not paying attention, or you're walking in disobedience, or you're still in sin. And God needs to, you know, clean you up and get you back in the right standing, right position as to what he wants for you, not what you want for you. Because let's face it, all of us have done things that may have disappointed our parents, our kids, our employers and stuff. And we don't ever think that what we do disappoints God, which is the first rule or command that Jesus had. We don't think about it. And when you have this love relationship with God, at least for me, the first thing I think about is, how is this going to affect my relationship to you, Lord? How is that going to work for us? And like I said to Kimmy yesterday, you know, I thanked her for putting up with my shenanigans, because, you know, a lot of pastors today are really polished. They really are. They can say a lot of things to make you feel great about yourself. But do they love you? I'm praying for you, but do you love me? Do you love me with the love of Jesus Christ? Do you love me? Or are you on this pedestal and have all your underlings handle it for you? Because my Bible tells me the shepherd knows the condition of his flock. And I'll tell you, I know the condition of my flock. And my flock is about to reproduce. You ought to be sensing something in your spirit that God wants you to birth forth, to reproduce. And we're at that place where God wants to reproduce. You see, when I am in the midst of God and I'm being enlightened by God, God does something in our lives. And we see this time and time again. We fail to recognize is that God is moving stuff in my heart. He's moving stuff out. He's doing all kinds of stuff. And I can remember one time I was talking with Irene, and God was dealing with me with three specific subjects. And she says to me, she says, "What is your problem?" I said, "I don't know. God's doing something, and I don't like it." It's all right to be mad at God. He don't care. He's going to do it whether you like it or not. He isn't going to stop what he wants to do in you because he has a plan for you. And he wants to get you to a place to train you from point A to point B so that when you're at that right place, you're already prepared to do what he wants you to do. He wants me to become obedient. And when I respond obedient to him, he begins to put peace in my heart. And that's why when we disciple about peace, making decisions that you have peace about. Because that's the first building block of the kingdom. Peace, love, joy, righteousness, and the Holy Spirit. It's the kingdom of God. He's trying to establish his kingdom in you. And that means that we know in physics that two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time. So something has to go. And guess what? Your stuff is going because his stuff is moving in. Whether you like it or not. That's the truth. Because what he wants is to get his love out of you so that you can love people. And what happens is a lot of us, early on in our Christian walk, we do things because we're looking for love. We don't realize he's in us. I don't need a woman's love. I really don't. And ladies, you don't need another man's love because you got the man dwelling in you. That when these guys come up to you and start whispering, "Hey, cutie pie. And every woman starts to get all flushed. "Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said to me? Oh!" Am I lying or am I dying? And the guys go back, and what do? "Man, I got her. Man, I got her right where I want her. We're going out. That's not the love of God. That is not the love of God. What happens is our emotions are responding to an outside stimuli that flusters our heart, clouds our heart, clouds our minds. And the enemy then begins to move. And we do things that are totally out of line with God's love. How many of you believe that God wants the best for you? And how many of us have done the absolute worst thing? Mine's higher than yours. We have. We're all done. You know, so we shouldn't be picking apart each other about how wicked we are. We all, let's agree, we're already wicked. What we need to do is learn how to flow in God's love. And that's the key. He lives in us. He wants to get us moving in love, but it starts with the motivation of my will. I will to love people as God loves them. Say that. I will to love people the way God loves them. All right, you're all accountable before him now. Let me give you a for instance about running. In the physical situation, we know you've heard me say this many times through the years, for a spiritual reality and truth, there is always a physical reality first that we must learn. In running, when I exert myself, the first thing I do is I begin to walk. As children, we crawl, we pick up speed, we crawl, we find out that that's not fast enough, we begin to stand up, and we start walking, and then the next thing we do, we run from our parents. Okay? That's what happens. And our parents run after us, okay? Well, God's the same way. We run from Him. We've sinned, we've fallen, we've run away. And God's running after us, okay? But when we get smart enough and realize that God loves us and we're safe with Him, we run to Him, okay? And that's the day of salvation. That's our born-again day. Mine is January 3rd, 1985. What's your born-on day? This was just not, you know. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Stephen's got me on a time chain. But anyhow, yeah. So as I exercise, as I learn to move and I want to become strong, I exercise more. I begin to trot. I begin to increase my heart. My heart begins to pump more blood. I breathe more. My lungs inject more oxygen into the blood. The bloodstream moves. It takes care of that. In the meantime, my muscles are burning up all the sugars and fats that are in there. I begin to perspire because it creates heat as I'm running so that my heart keeps up with what's going on, right? Physical heart. Benefits of that kind of exercise or cardiovascular exercise is that we begin to have a clearer mind. We're able to see better in things. Our diet changes. All of a sudden, we're not junk food addicts. We begin to start eating better. We hydrate more. We don't go with the sugars of sodas and teas and these caffeinated drinks. We begin to drink a lot more water. And then water in hydrating removes all the impurities out of our bodies. And we become healthier. And the next thing, we don't want to walk, we want to run. Even in our normal strides of walking, we walk faster. We're at a different level now because we're freer to do that. And the benefits is we increase our strength, our stamina is better, and physically we're able to sustain ourselves. Emotionally, we have a better outlook, self-image of ourselves because our body is changing. We're peeling off the weight. Paul says, cast off that sin that so easily besets you and run the race. Lest you be disqualified. Right? As my spirit man begins to die to the wants of the flesh, because my flesh is going to tell my spirit man what it wants to do. And as I become obedient to God, and I begin to exercise obedience to God, faith in there. There is something else that happens. There is a heat that is created within my spirit. That is an ardor that is love. And that love begins to burn. Remember when Jesus was walking on the road with the two disciples from Emmaus? And he was talking about from Moses all the way to his death on the cross. And he disappeared from them. They said, didn't our hearts burn when he spoke to us? Remember, ladies, when guys speak sweet nothings to you and your heart burns? Jesus doesn't just speak nothing. He speaks love. For he epitomizes love. And his love is already contained in you. He wants your love to come through. And of course, what we do is we begin to love our families. We begin to love our kids. And the people that upset us, we don't love. People who get under our skin. People who say things off color. People who agitate us. People who do things that insult us or bring a reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. All those people we don't love because guess what? They're sinners. You good? Are we good? Well, I'm going to put it in there first. How's that? But the spiritual benefits of running after the commands of God, loving God with my whole heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and loving people brings benefits with it too. We're able to discern better what people are hurting from. We don't judge them. We discern. The Bible says the spirit man judges all things or discerns what's going on in a person's life so we can love them through that. Or God loves them through us through that. Our faith is increased and strengthened. Patience is built up. Remember how impatient we are when we were young and running ahead of our parents, like, oh, come on, catch up with us, let's go. We want to get to where the next amusement ride or whatever it is. I mean, I know Jessie did that to me a lot of times. But she was very gracious because she held a place for me in line. So there is, see, the benefits of somebody running faster than you, it really pays dividends. I'm with her. She thought that I was taking her to the amusement park. I was taking her to use her at the amusement park. The only problem was when she didn't meet that level, you know, she was just a hair under, like, come on, Jess, step on my feet and hit that thing. You know, it's a good ride. No, but seriously, spiritual running. We're able to love people in spite of what they can provide for us or what we think we can provide for them because we can love them unconditionally. We're more concerned about the condition of their soul than we are about their position in life or the type of job they have or how much money they make. That's what the heathen are worried about. That should not be the life of the believer. And next week, like I said, we're going to talk about guarding our hearts so that the love of God comes through. Our motivation is to see that person redeemed to the position that they were created for in Jesus Christ. We all haven't arrived, but we're all on the same journey. And we have to understand that I need you. I need you to grow. I need you to hear from God. I need to hear what God's saying to you. Sometimes you just don't need to hear me say some stuff. Sometimes you just need to hear God. We learned that our motivation is Godward, and because it's Godward, sin does not have that tinge on us anymore. It doesn't tickle our fancy. It's not as appealing. All of a sudden, we're able to discern, and we have to make choices because our choices affect our position in Jesus Christ. Because as we grow, we realize what's displeasing to God. We don't want to displease God because we want His flow of love to come from us. And we have to make decisions that will keep this flow going out. I call it the Kanish Barnea lesson. We will go around this mountain and we will continue going around this mountain until we learn the lesson that God wants us to give something up so that He can fill us more of Himself to love people where they are. The more obedient I become, the more love God puts into my life. The more my will is to do what God says to do, prosperity to my soul comes. My heart is filled with love, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit has put it there by faith. Spiritual fruit of character begins to develop. I'm no longer walking and thinking and talking like my carnal friends. I'm walking and talking like my spiritual father, Jesus, God Almighty. I begin to understand that I have a greater purpose than just existing on this planet, waiting to exit stage right, because God has a better plan for us. And that plan may include riches, position, prominence, influence, and all. But if it doesn't, that's okay, because it's His plan, not mine. My job is to love unconditionally all people, red and white, purple, green, orange and yellow, whatever color, except black fingernails and mascara, in the goth. I'm teasing. That was another phase we went through. But the love of Christ that is in my heart and is shed abroad in my heart compels me to love people. I can't but love people. I can't but demonstrate that love to them by sacrificing for them to get them in position to receive all that God has for them so that they can give them away. Give that stuff away. Give their lives away. You are anointed. God's love is anointed. You are anointed. And I'd ask you just close your Bibles. I'm going to read you a scripture. Actually, three or four of them. And then we're going to end. You are anointed. You are not here by chance or happenstance. When you came to Jesus Christ, He anointed you. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, when He began His public ministry, He entered into the synagogue, He took a scroll, and He read these words, which should be each and every believer's words. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release of darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor or grace, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. That is you. You are anointed. You have something to say that God has put in your heart to share with others. And we heard Kimmy today share, even before she knew, and I told her that she was going to do this. I told you, it's almost scary walking in my shoes. But you are anointed. The only thing separating you from allowing that flow of an anointing of love is your will. Is your will. What you want is not necessarily what God wants for you. You have been anointed to go and share the good news. You have been anointed to heal the brokenhearted. You have been anointed by the love of God. That where the love of God goes, there's comfort. Where the love of God goes, there's healing. Where the love of God goes, it sets people free. Jesus said, if you're filled with His love, you'll speak in other tongues. You'll heal the sick. You'll raise the dead. You'll cast out demons. The love of God cannot stand wickedness. That wickedness comes from the fallen one. You are no longer fallen. You have been elevated in Jesus Christ. And like I said, there is no sin so great that He cannot forgive. Because when we confess that sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all sins and wash us clean in His blood. Amen. Father, we have declared to You that we will love people as You love people. In that declaration, Lord, we have said that whatever is in our way from a releasing Your love through us, God, remove it. If it's my will, God, then make my will Your will. If it's my preference and distortion of looking at people, then God, forgive me. I repent before You right now, Lord. Cleanse me so that flow of Your love can flow through me. Help me, God, to make those decisions that would only prosper so that your love can flow through me, God. God, as Streams begins to take these steps to stand forward, Lord God, and begin to love people where they are, but confront them to your love, God, and with your love, to be more than they could ever ask or imagine, God. To encourage them, to love them in spite of what goes on in their lives, God. Because you're in control of everything. Father, may the peace of Jesus Christ that passes all understanding, as Jesus told us, He gives us His peace. Not as the world leaves, but His peace. May that be the first building block in our lives. Even today, God, as we struggle, and I'm sensing that we're struggling in a couple areas, and I just encourage you, just where you are, just give it to God. You weren't made to struggle. You were made to love. Father, as we go forward in this day and every day of this year, God, let us purpose to love people. Let us purpose to share the good news of your kingdom. Let us purpose to comfort them, to meet their needs where they are, God, to do whatever it is to win them to you, Lord. To bring in your harvest that you have so diligently looked over and cared for. Because your coming is sure today than it was yesterday, Lord. And the days are darker. God, continue to protect Streams. Continue to give us wisdom to do those things that would glorify your name. That, Father, that this year, this town would be upset with us because we will not compromise to sharing the good news and loving people as you love them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.